Welcome into This Has to Work. I'm Matt Hoddle, and joining me today, Wayman Jackson, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Birmingham Business Alliance. Wayman, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Matt.
That was dynamic.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it's
very
dynamic.
I had no idea that this was the name of the podcast. I like that. This has to work.
Yeah, this has to work. Otherwise, there really is no plan B, right? Yeah. So wanted to talk to you a little bit. Your role at the BBA is pretty dynamic. You're involved in a lot of different things. One of the things that you and I have had multiple conversations, and I've kind of seen you, for lack of a better term, in action around most recently is around workforce development. And I wanted to have you on the show to talk about workforce development because I think it's one of those things for some people that become, kind of an economic development buzzword, but they don't really understand what it means. And maybe more importantly, they don't understand how it affects them in kind of their day to day. So talk to me from your perspective, what does workforce development actually mean?
Yeah, I would say that most people who are doing workforce development have varying definitions of what workforce development actually means. So to add some context, I'll provide a little bit of history just on myself. I worked at the city of Birmingham for 6 years. I think that was my introduction to workforce development. I worked for a city councilor, Roderick Royal, who had the education committee for the council. If you're familiar with how congressional offices are set up, city of Birmingham, the council offices, each one of those council people are responsible for a committee. So we had the education committee. We did a lot of work with the school system. Transitioned from there after 6 years to the BBA, where I moved into this role of Director of Workforce Development in 2012. And it was really at a point where the BBA was 2 years into coming from a Birmingham Chamber of Commerce to the and Metropolitan Development Board, merging together to become the Birmingham Business Alliance. Comprehensive, broad plan in Blueprint Birmingham. Workforce development was at the center of that. There were a lot of things, a lot of initiatives that we wanted to get accomplished. Go back to charter schools, alignment of curriculum, career academies with Birmingham City Schools, pre-K advocacy. So you can see, up under workforce development, the varying different things that go into that. Talent attraction, talent retention.
Well, I think it's really interesting because I probably failed to think about workforce development as having that that much of a genesis. I mean, you even back it all the way back to the schools themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about, and I know this from the conversations that we've had, but I mean, we're not talking about juniors and seniors in high schools. We're talking about, sixth, seventh, eighth graders mm-hmm. getting exposed to computer engineering, computer programming, and things like that. So maybe that's part of the problem is that we think about it as for adults. Mm-hmm. We don't think about the genesis being much earlier than that.
Yeah, and I actually think that a lot of that comes from in the context that we typically operate in. Me being at a quasi-chamber economic development organization, an association that is heavily invested by the business community. What do we need right now? And so when you talk about what do you need right now, you're typically talking about that adult worker. Mm-hmm. You're typically talking about that college graduate that's graduating soon. But when you start looking at the entire talent pipeline and you start thinking about, as we make the equation to sports, when you start thinking about your bench, then you really start thinking about secondary, K-12, that entire space and pre-K. So that's where I think now with the demand and the pressure that's actually on, the labor market, that's the biggest shift that I think we've seen, I would say, over the past decade, is that there's a lot of attention being placed on, what's happening at the pre-K level, fourth grade, eighth grade, and high school as well.
And for you trying to understand that demand, what is in demand right now? What is it that people are going, geez, we have more positions open, we have more opportunities open than we have candidates to fill them?
Yeah. So at one point, I would say in Birmingham that we would have some anecdotal information that people would say, hey, my gut tells me that, I see postings for automotive manufacturing jobs. So that must be something that, is available. If you're a parent or if you're someone who's just attending to, at a point when we had a, you know, regularly circulated newspaper, if you're just turning through the ads and you're like, oh, well, there's a huge ad from this, you know, new manufacturing company. So that must be, you know, the thing. Now, you know, through the efforts, I think, of a lot of partners in the community, we actually have sound data and sound information that says, hey, here are the jobs that are available right now. This is what's going to be available in a year. This is what's going to be available in 5 years and 10 years. Our Building It Together report that we did in collaboration with Burning Glass Technologies and CAEL, the Council for Adult and Experiential Learning. You had the BBA, Community Foundation of Greater Birmingham, United Way, Alabama Power, Central Six, Alabama Works, all come together, UAB, to fund an effort to say, hey, what's our North Star? And we see other communities that are matching, you know, an attainment goal for their community to say that, you know, this is a talent that we're actually going to need. And not only are we going to need this talent, but we're going to need this talent in these specific roles and industries. What came out of that Building It Together report that we initiated about a year ago were a few things. One was focus, you know, economic development wise. If you want to see jobs grow, if you want to see this community and the region move forward, narrow your focus. Economic development for a long time has been a shotgun approach, and it's worked to some degree in some places. It's been that we're going to buffalo hunt. We're going to find, you know, the large companies. We're going to see what's out there. We're going to go after all of it. And, you know, we can't say that that has not worked because that has worked. But now it's gotten to this point where, you know, this report says, hey, if you want to grow, you really need to focus on these three things: advanced manufacturing, information technology, and life sciences. And it's really looking at what you can take advantage of that's unique to you, that's in your own backyard. That's why we talk about life sciences at UAB. UAB is right here. And building off of those assets that we've been able to capture with jobs as far as in advanced manufacturing and things like that. So that gave us the economic development perspective. And then on the workforce side, it said, listen, we're looking at this community, and what we see is a workforce that needs to transition. There are a lot of low-skilled occupations. There are a lot of low-skilled workers. A lot of places where you stand at risk for automation. So we're going to lay out a few recommendations. If we want to grow these industries for people in this community, here are these recommendations to how you get them to move forward. Those recommendations being, you know, invest in, you know, successful programs that you have, replicate those. Innovate Birmingham was one of those. It's like, you know, you've got something great in this program, invest more into it. Co-ops, apprenticeships, invest in those things. That's one of the reasons I think you see Mayor Woodfin and his administration going towards this Birmingham promise. There's information that says invest in apprenticeships and do those types of things. Information in saying that, listen, in order for Birmingham to truly, you know, move forward, you've got to recruit talent here, and you've got to get the talent that's already here to stay. We've got some dynamic numbers that say that, you know, listen, we've got 57% of students that go to UAB, Miles, Birmingham Southern, Samford, Montevallo, Jeff State, Lawson State. 57% of all those students stay here. The mismatch, though, is that we have not aligned the curriculum at most of those universities to actually meet the need of what's coming out, what the jobs that are actually available.
Yeah, it's been, we at Red Hawk, we had a young lady that came and interned with us this summer as part of kind of the first, you know, kind of thrust for Birmingham Promise and for the Promise program. And that was readily apparent to us. I mean, she's willing to work, willing to do all this stuff. But I mean, we were talking about things around venture capital and startups and kind of entrepreneurship. And those just weren't subjects that she had been exposed to yet. Now she certainly, you know, drank from a fire hose while she was here because she got a lot of that. But that alignment, I think, is a big part of it. And so, you know, we spend the majority of our time talking with kind of startups and tech companies and things like that. And the lament, I think, for everywhere, and this is not specific to Birmingham, but I think everywhere we talk to people, they want more engineering, they want more development work, they want more technical acumen. And you mentioned Innovate Birmingham as a part of that, is doing that. What kind of skills are programs like Innovate Birmingham trying to teach and trying to get people, you know, ready to perform within the workforce.
So one of the interesting things that you just mentioned, as when you were mentioning the entrepreneurship piece of it, that that Building It Together report that we talked about, you know, it didn't leave any of that out. And I will say, you know, the student that you reference as a primary example of not having the introduction to that and the knowledge and the skills about it. It also talked about as a community that, you know, you have this budding ecosystem for entrepreneurship, but you're not doing enough to foster. You're not doing enough to feed it. One, you don't have enough people who are coming out of the high schools and the colleges that feel like they can stay here and they can start a company here and be successful here. Two, you don't have enough people who are in mid-level manager positions that might be willing to transition from a role at a traditional company that has experience, they can bring process improvements and all those things to a startup that are willing to come into those spaces. So, you know, this report didn't leave anybody out. So that's one of the ways that it's kind of changed the dynamic for, I think, the way that organizations like the Birmingham Business Alliance are thinking about, you know, our role and our role in economic development. When you talk about Innovate Birmingham, one of the things that this Building It Together report talked about, it said that over the next 10 years annually, we're basically going to have about, I think it was 10,000 jobs that will need to be filled by a college graduate with at least a bachelor's degree.
And what is that delta between that demand and what we're actually able to supply?
It's floating right now, but we're not filling it now. And so I think on average, you see available jobs right now, if you just pulled up Burning Glass, which is some technology that we use, we're typically somewhere in between available jobs, about, you know, 500 to 600. One of the things that was highlighted, I think, in 2014 and 2015, during the Obama administration, Birmingham was announced as a tech hire community. And basically, it was looking at those communities that are not, you know, your typical San Francisco and Chicago or somewhere else, but saying that, hey, these are cities that have an abundance of technology jobs that aren't being filled. And so Birmingham was actually one of those communities. And that's where that number kind of came from, somewhere between about 400, 500, 600 jobs available annually. So the skills that programs like Innovate Birmingham, you know, what we get a lot is critical thinking. You definitely want someone that can think critically, solve problems, solutions oriented and driven. But I think where you've started to see Innovate Birmingham go, data science, data analytics. We're hearing a lot about that from employers, that that's a need of theirs. The traditional, you know, coding languages, developers, that's another big component. I think that what we're starting to see some of the successes, people can find a CTO. We're doing a much better job of marketing Birmingham for those places that know how to do it right. They know to engage the community when you're trying to find high level talent.
I once wondered and was concerned that, you know, you've got Birmingham, it's a post-industrial, you know, for lack of a better term or an oversimplified term, a post-industrial city that doesn't have kind of the technical skills kind of built into the largest organizations that have historically existed here. Now that's shifted now. But one of the things that I was surprised, and this is a good thing, was that we were finding these folks from outside of Birmingham coming here and saying, oh, you think you have a demand versus supply issue? You have no idea, because not only do we have about the same deltas between what the demand is and the supply available, but we're also, as a startup, having to compete against some of the largest corporations for that same talent. And it's not just the, you know, the GEs and the, you know, Ford Motor companies of the world. It is literally like we have an operation from Facebook, from Google, from Salesforce, from Microsoft, you know, name cool tech company. And so these companies are trying to recruit, and they might be the seventh or eighth considered job for this individual. So, you know, not to disparage anybody else, but if you've been passed over by seven of the greatest companies, you might get the seventh attempt at a candidate, which certainly makes it a challenge for you if you can't compete with a Google or a Microsoft or a Facebook. So, you know, what was, I think, to our advantage was we didn't have that same necessary problem. And we, don't get me wrong, like Regions and Blue Cross Blue Shield and BBVA and, you know, all these other companies are going to take their share of the really great talent, and that's to be expected. But at the same time, somebody coming to work for a startup versus somebody who decides they want to go into banking at a Regions or a BBVA, that's probably a different candidate to start off with. But what those startups aren't having to do is wait for them to come through the filter of five, you know, blue chip technology companies before they even get a shot to make an offer, which is inevitably not going to be nearly as competitive as some of those folks. So it's interesting because I don't think we have it as badly as maybe people would understand once you start taking a more global view of what other people are dealing with.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the areas that I think, you know, the startup community in Birmingham has a really big opportunity in front of it is, you know, the actual branding just around, you know, what exactly is startup life, startup culture in Birmingham. I think that there could be something to be said looking at the examples of what, you know, a lot of our traditional, you know, companies here have done and making a name for themselves on the campuses of Alabama, Auburn, Alabama A&M, Tuskegee, and others. You know, they've done a really good job of, you know, branding themselves on those campuses. One thing that, you know, we've toyed around with and kind of putting in place is, you know, what does it look like if, you know, there's just an ecosystem around this Birmingham technology scene, this Birmingham startup culture. And instead of it just being, you know, one startup that's going to a college campus to make a name for itself, you know, it's a group, you know, and it's a Birmingham startup type thing where it becomes sexy, you know, that you want to be in Birmingham working at a startup that not only is allowing you the opportunity, you know, to take on high levels of responsibility because, you know, it's a thin staff and it's not a lot of hierarchy. But it also is you're working with a startup that is somewhat connected maybe to one of those traditional companies here. Because now they've got some type of, you know, business line that they're doing and it's truly forming, you know, a real ecosystem here. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for someone to take the leadership on that. I think that's an area where, you know, in talent attraction and some of the things that we're doing at the BBA, where we're willing to take a leadership position on that and helping startups do those types of things.
So how can startups, you know, help this effort around workforce development? Does it start with kind of that mentorship, that apprenticeship that you mentioned before? Is that a good place for them to get involved?
Yeah, the word I'm going to use is engagement. Since I've been doing workforce development, you know, in Birmingham in particular, since 2012, you've started to see the engagement of companies change because you've started to see the demand for talent, you know, grow and the labor market tighten. And so now what you're seeing is companies, I think, realize that they have to, you know, truly engage in this process, you know, with talent to get talent and to have their companies recognized. You were talking about names earlier when you were mentioning the Googles, the Facebooks, and all those different things. One of the publications that, you know, is kind of like Economic Development Bible is Area Development. They did a survey about 2 years ago, and it was, you know, where at that point they were really focusing on millennials, and it was, where do you want to work post-graduation? And, you know, it was all of the name recognition matters with them. It was, you know, well, first choice, you know, it's Amazon, Facebook, Google, and all these large company names and such. So it's really this, the engagement. Like, you have to be, you know, willing to, at some point, you know, somebody's got to step away. And I know it's tough. You know, I'm learning that it's really tough. You know, if you've got a 2 or 3 person shop, you know, someone's trying to raise capital, someone's trying to keep the lights on, someone's trying to, you know, pitch this product to somebody else. So that engagement piece is critical. So one of the things that I think, and now that we know that, and Birmingham's, you know, moving to this space where we want to become a more friendly, you know, city towards our startup community, we need to put some things in place that makes it easier, you know, for that founder, for those co-founders. You know, you've got 2 co-founders, and then you may have 1 or 2 people in the office. What can we do as an intermediary in workforce development? What can happen at the Innovation Depot? What can happen at Tech Birmingham so that maybe those intermediaries who may have a few more people and may already have relationships on college campuses or may already have relationships with existing residents that want to get back in the workforce and be retrained. You're looking at Central 6 then, and you're looking at Innovate Birmingham. But what can we do as intermediaries to assist, you know, those startups in doing that?
So as we're coming towards the end of 2019, as you look forward for 2020, the new decade, which it's crazy. I'm still struggling with the fact that this is actually an end of another decade. It just makes me feel old. So as you're looking to
we are getting old.
Yeah, well, yeah, check. So as 2020 starts kicking off, what are you excited about? What are you looking forward to in 2020 that you've either been working on and gets launched, or it's just things that you see on the horizon that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm a Birmingham purist. I'm a Birmingham optimist. So I'm excited about Birmingham. I think there's a level of energy and momentum here. It's contagious. Once you get here, you kind of feel it and you see it. I think more so now than at any other point, you've got the business community, you've got local government, and I'm saying that across the region, not just Birmingham and county related, moving in the same direction. And so that and those things fluctuate, but I think that people are really starting to see the more we can do together, the better off we'll be. You've got a lot of projects out there. The Brookings work that the Brookings Institute is doing with the city of Birmingham, I will say it's been transformative. It's put out there, again, another place where it's pulling people together around central issues of inclusion in economic development, inclusion in business growth, inclusion in business ownership. Not only just that, but economic development strategy. It's saying that, hey, you know, let's be narrow. Let's say and let's, you know, accept that, you know, more jobs are created from existing companies, more jobs are created with small businesses, and let's start to focus on that. Where we are at the Birmingham Business Alliance, you know, looking at the role that we're beginning to play in workforce development and talent attraction, I think is something that I'm really excited about. You know, us moving to more of a digital approach to having something out there in the market that allows companies, from what we've heard from over the past, you know, 3 to 4 years of, you know, give us some place where we can, you know, send talent and send potential companies and people who want to come here or who want to stay here, where they can learn about what those opportunities are here. I think for all the legislating is tough, but we've had some really good successes over the past couple of years as it relates to legislation coming out of the state. We've also had some black eyes, but I think everyone's, you know, willing to move around and figure out how do we minimize things that are going to, you know, position Birmingham and the state in a place where we don't want to be positioned, and how do we elevate Birmingham above all of that?
You talked about, and you've given a dozen or more examples of the community getting engaged and getting involved, and I always have been and continue to be encouraged by the quality and the quantity of that engagement for the community. So presumably someone listening to this is hearing what you're saying and wanting to get involved. And if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I have a regular coffee shop routine. Starts at Urban Standard.
That's good.
Anyone can reach me at the Birmingham Business Alliance. My phone number is 241-8117, or email. My information's on the Birmingham Business Alliance website. More than happy to chat about, you know, ways to get involved. The Building It Together initiative that we are launching in partnership with Central 6 Alabama Works will have various components for people to say that, hey, I want to help, you know, in this space on career awareness. How do I help, you know, have parents and teachers and students more aware of the careers in Birmingham? How do I help in a place where we're talking about upskilling and re-engaging people that are in the workforce that have been out of the workforce? And then how do I connect and help with individuals who want to be recruited here or who want to stay here from the talent attraction and talent retention?
And if you don't reach out directly to Wayman via the phone number he just dropped, just get involved in some way, shape, or form with the business community in mm-hmm. Birmingham. And in about 5 minutes, you'll meet him face-to-face because he's everywhere all the time. Impressed by the work he's doing, appreciate all the effort he puts into it above and beyond the call of duty. So Wayman, thanks so much for being here.
And thanks, Matt. And the work that is occurring with Matt, groups like Red Hawk, Alabama Future Funds, and others is tremendous, and the type of work that needs to occur in Birmingham. So yeah, we need more of that.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much.